everything you've already done. I pray your mighty hand to continually work in our lives. We give this moment, this time to you for your glory and for your honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So good to see you. My Fitbit, it buzzes when I get a text. And somebody's been texting me. And my arm keeps on vibrating. So if that's you, I probably shouldn't have said that. Now my whole I'll take my Fitbit off because people will be texting me. Today is a very special day. This weekend, a very special weekend. And, you know, I told Jim Booty, he came down, did I do okay? I said, get away from me. You messed me up. I could fall apart really easy at this moment, this time. I love this quote from Thomas Campbell. He said, the Patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree. And Memorial Day is a time to honor those whose feet will never feel the homeland that they protected ever again. It's a time for us to remember them, to honor, cherish their families and the memories. And we hang this flag to demonstrate our love for a nation imperfect, hasn't always been perfect, hasn't always done right, continues to have imperfections. But we are so grateful, and we sing that song proudly, God bless America. Lord, we need the blessing of God upon our land like we have never needed it before. I want to encourage you to pray. You are called, but in the scripture, the Bible, to pray for those who are in authority over you and I, in leadership authority. Doesn't matter who you voted for, doesn't matter. You're called to pray for them. I said that for the last president. I'll say this for this one and hopefully for the next one. We are to pray for those who are in leadership over us and believe God for the best to happen out in our country. Amen? So today, stay right with me, Rufus. I love you up here. I love you with me. You know, talking about Memorial Day weekend, I had a lot of emotions come over me. You know my story. My dad was a raging, brutal alcoholic, and my brother had enlisted to go into the Navy. And the last time he was home, my dad would beat us up. It was a daily occurrence. And my brother said to my father, he was a grown young man going into the Navy. He said, when I come back from boot camp, you'll never touch my family again. And I remember him coming back, and my dad was the greatest man in the world until he started drinking. And he turned into an irate maniac. I'm telling this story today because we're going to talk about family works. What works in a home and what doesn't work. I want to preface what I'm going to say with this little story because what my dad did, good man or not, and my father-in-law always used to tell me, he never met my father. He says he did the best that he could. Maybe so. My brother goes to boot camp and he comes home. My dad starts drinking. He starts right in. Used to beat us until his hands were bleeding. My brother confronted him. Said, I said you're never going to do this again. I thought they were going to have an all-out brawl, but my dad, he turned around and he walked up the stairs away from him. After that, my brother went and he went to Vietnam. He came home one more time. He was a totally changed man. He looked different. You could tell he's seen what war could do to an individual. He had little interaction with my father. How sad that is. He went again, and he always said, you're not going to touch my mother, my brothers, again. I'd already lost a sister. And I'll never forget getting the word. He came home from leave. He was going to surprise everybody. He didn't want my dad knowing. He didn't want my mom knowing. He was going to drive from San Diego to South Byron. He was going to visit us. He had a 10-day or 12-day leave. He was going to drive across the country and drive back. And he got midway through Casey, Illinois, fell asleep. ran head-on into a tractor trailer and was killed. It ripped our family. It was the hardest time in my life. My dad, he went on a month-long drinking binge, thinking that the guilt that was in his life was so deep and so severe. I'll never forget being at that funeral and being at the cemetery, that 21-gun salute. Every time I do a funeral now and I hear that, it brings back that memory in me. My dad went on that drunk, and 30 days later he went to work and he had a mental breakdown and he ended up in a mental institution. Stayed there 2 years. It was the hardest time in our families. I never could understand. I thought I lost a sister, now my brother, and here's my dad. He gets out. My mom's afraid he's going to come and kill us. We moved to my aunt and uncle's house just to get away from it. And finally, they all felt it was safe, came back home. Just a few months later, we get the call. He's dead. He's found dead. He had a nickel in his pocket, laying in a little motel room in Stafford. They found him. Days later, he'd been dead. No one around him. No family around him. No love as he went from one life to another life. No realization of who Jesus was. People would come to our door. They'd knock on the door and he'd chide them and tell them, get the blank away from here. I don't want your God. I say, why are you saying all that today? Well, I remember my brother today. See, he would have been living today had my dad made a decision to do some things that would make the family work. Some of you are here today. You're here and you're on the precipice of always making that decision, but you're never moved to take that next step. And you don't know the end result. If you don't do that, what could it end up being in a few years? I had to make a step. I found myself doing the same thing. I don't even know why I'm talking like this. Somebody must need to hear this today. I found myself at 15, 14, 15, 16 doing the same thing I swore I'd never do again. And then I met this blonde-haired girl. And her dad said, if you're going to date him, he's going to go to church. You know, the rest is history. But I tell you that whole story, a few things. Number one, make the decision to follow Christ. Put him first in your life. Say, yeah, but it's hard. No, it's when you say it's hard and when you say I can't, that's just the brother of I won't. You make the decision. Say, as for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to serve God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him. I told you when we got married, we decided we were going to give. They taught us to give a tithe and an offering. My wife and I did that. And don't judge my harvest until you examine my seed. Amen. So what I tell you today is not to make you think I've got everything perfect or right. I sure don't. If you spend a few minutes with my wife, she'll probably tell you that. And if you do everything perfect as a mom and dad, you still could face some heartache or difficulty in your life. Still could. But that doesn't mean you give up and say, well, that didn't work. No. You keep on working. You keep on trying. You keep on moving in that direction. You keep on aggressing forward and do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Romans chapter 14, 19, we pursue things that make peace in the building up of one another. Philippians 3:12, Paul said, I press on that I may lay hold of that which was laid hold on me. James says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. You show me, he says, show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Making a family work means that you and I have to sow into it on a regular basis. We have to make a deposit in it all the time. And when you make a decision to sow, your home will be filled with precious and pleasant riches. When I talk about riches, that's not monetary, but that's not void of monetary either. God will pour out his blessing upon your lives like you never thought he would. In 2 Timothy 3 and 14 and 15, he said, Timothy, you must continue in the things which I have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them from, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. When you were a child, Timothy, the Word of God was deposited in your heart, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You and I are called to influence our family members, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, and our grandfathers and grandmothers, our moms and dads. There's some kids here today. Maybe your children, maybe your parents or your grandparents, they're not following the Lord. They will look at you, young person, and watch your walk with God. And they will make a decision. And when you make a decision to put some values, some core values in your life, that we're going to build our home on these core values and we're not going to deviate, God will help you. He'll get behind you. Some things that you have a core value of the personal relationships that you allow in your life. What you stand for. There's some things in our home that this is the way we do it and we don't deviate off of that. There's no talking about it. This is who we are. And it helps us to guide and teach our family, and it helps us to understand and know. And when we have these core values working in us, they will not only influence you as a person, they will influence your family, but they will also influence a generation yet to follow. And I've watched this in my children and in my grandchildren. When I see my grandkids hearing some things that their parents tell them that I told them when they were little. And that will always, it'll go on the flip side of that too. If you teach negative things, if you sow negativity in there, you will catch that and pick that up in your grandchildren as well. I ought to hear an amen on that today. So let me give you some things that you can sow. And if you're here today and you say, well, I'm not a parent, or you say, I'm a grandparent, my kids are all grown up, I don't have to worry about it. Nothing could be further from the truth. You have to invest in your children until the day you die. And if you don't have kids, there are other kids here that you can love and you can bless and you can be a part of their lives. Listen to this. Sow some things. Number one, you got to tell your children of the great love of God. John 3:16. God so loved the world. You got to teach them that they were born in the world, separated from God, and that if we teach them to accept and receive Christ as their Savior and as their Lord, and ask Christ to clean them and wipe all of their sin away, that becomes a reality in their life. I remember as our kids were little and we would be playing around and we would do things. I would look for opportunities to sow certain seeds into their lives. And we may be messing around. The big thing kids, the boys used to love to do, I can't even remember what they called it, but I'd come home and I'd lay in bed. They'd get on the end of the bed and they'd just jump on me, pile drive me. That worked good until they got up 8 or 9. Then they started to hurt me. But we'd get in there and we'd get laughing and everything. And then we'd have that moment where I'd begin to say, I want to tell them about Jesus and how he loved them and tell them the plan that he has particular for their lives. And I remember praying with my children and leading them to Jesus when they were just little boys. You need to do that. You and I must do that and let our families know that they're loved through the good time and the bad times. And you will, you live long enough, you will go through seasons in your life that are challenging and are difficult. But if God be for us, who can be against us today? Come on. You have to also, number two, make sure that every family member develops their faith in God alone themselves. God does not have grandchildren. He has children. Our children cannot ride on our faith. They have to develop a faith of their own. They have to come into a relationship with Christ on their own. They have to know that he is for them and he wants to live in them and lead them and individually guide them in life. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want to tell you today that if you're adhering to political correctness in the world and trying to raise your kids in a way that mirrors what society dictates, you're going down the wrong path. You might say, oh, pastor, you're just old-fashioned. Let me tell you, there's nothing old-fashioned about this book. It is as relevant today as it's ever been. And children that don't know that God wants to help them and raise them up higher than society and cause them to be a voice in the world, they will fall for anything. But we are going to be people of God that teach and train our families that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we're going to talk about it. I shared it last week out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. He says, these words I'll command you today, they'll be on your heart. Teach them to your kids. Talk when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Make that a part of who you are and what your life is. Third, we have to sow moral discernment in our home and in our family. Moral integrity is demonstrated in our lives when we live out what the Word of God says. Now, and our core values cannot, again, they cannot be based on society and what society says. Oh, that's okay. Forget that. We're liberated now. We can do whatever we want. Not according to God's word, you can't. And when you love Him, you won't want to do that. And I want to tell all the young people that there's peer pressure from every side coming against our kids today to say, oh, you ought to try this, you ought to go here, you ought to do that. But know ye this, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And you can't sow to corruption and reap life. He who soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit, he shall reap. And God wants us to do that. 1 Corinthians 7, every family ought to read this. He says, Verse 1 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. He says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Woo! Amen. Hear this now. And he says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man, what? Have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Amen, Pastor. I just love it when you talk like that. And next to making Jesus the Lord of your life, the spouse that you choose to marry is the second most important decision you'll ever make. Oh boy, I'll tell you what. If I wanted to marry some of the people that I thought I wanted to marry instead of marrying this one, I would have been in a mess today. But I tell you, when you let God have influence on your life and you let Him lead you and guide you, He will cause things to work in your family and in your home. 2 Timothy 3, he said, know this, that in the last days, perilous times, they will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, woo, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He said this is going to happen in the end days. Galatians 5, and he talks about what the works of the flesh are. I'm talking about sowing moral integrity right now. He said, now the works of the flesh are evident. I like how he says that, evident. He said, they're evident. And it doesn't take you long to be around somebody that is deciding to live their life according to the flesh. He said, the works of the flesh are evident. And then he gets right into it. He says, they're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath. I like how he puts anger, outburst of wrath right in next to adultery and fornication. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who, practice such things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But what do we practice? And you may be here today and say, well, I fit into a couple of them spots. Can I tell you, God's not upset at you? And the reason that I'm telling you this is to bring you into a higher dimension so your family will work. So, well, I just want to have some fun before I get married. I just want to go out and I want to do some things that I've never done before. You don't need to do that to find out what fun really is. You want some fun? You want to go on a mission trip for like 6 months or something. That'll tell you what fun. Come on today. Come on, let's give it up to that little girl over there. Listen, he goes on to say, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. Come on, God's calling you and I. Because when we walk in the Spirit, when we submit ourselves to Him, when we let Him draw us into a dimension, into a life that is healthy and whole, then we begin to live in the Spirit and we find and experience everything that God has already planned for us. Come on, today. He says, through wisdom that house is built, and understanding it's established. I want to help you with that today. And maybe this doesn't describe where some of you are today, but you can start here. You can start again today. There's no condemnation, but there's love and a desire for your families to come up and live the way God has called you to live. That's all. You don't have to stay back there. You also have to learn to sow character and integrity. This is, in our culture, this is minimalized in many ways. Integrity is a firm adherence to a code of, there it is again, moral values and incorruptible honor. Titus 2:7 says, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Character is the mental and the ethical traits marking and often individualizing a person. When we talk about people, somebody said, well, tell me about so-and-so. Well, they're this, they're that. They're describing the character of that person. And they're either described normally as great character traits or negative character traits. Some good ones: honest, kind, happy, sincere, patient. Some negative character traits may include rude, angry, mean, mad. I just say this, some of you get mad easy. You lighten up. Your issue is not that big. Lighten up. Saying that to me, who wound up, I won't even tell you. Untrusting, greedy, and character is only and can only be changed in our lives when the power of God's Holy Spirit is working in our life to bring us into a direction through conviction and His leading. Your character can be changed. You can't. Somebody, people, they have all these little isms. Well, you can, a leopard, they got the same spots. I don't even know all that nonsense. People change. Romans 12:2, this is how. Not to be conformed to the world. You don't live and mirror what the society and our culture tells us. You are raised up higher. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing your mind through God's word every single day. Come on, it'll change who you are as a person. Philippians 4:8 says, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, whatever is commendable, any excellence in any of them worthy of praise, think on those things. And watch God change your life. Integrity is an incredible word. It's lacking in our culture, and it's greatly displayed by Samuel. He says in 1 Samuel 12, I love this. You ought to mark this in your Bible and read this. 1 Samuel 12, 1 through 4, Samuel says to all of Israel, he said, I've listened to everything you have said to me, and I've set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I'm old and I'm gray. And then he says this little word. He says, and my sons are here with you today. Because watch what he's going to do. You can pull the wool over a lot of people's lives. You can't pull it over your family's life. I meet with preachers all the time. That's why I was drawn to a Pastor Ron Domina, because back 20 years plus ago, when they were honoring him at a 20th anniversary, I think, that he'd been at the church for 20 years, and I saw his kids, one after the other, get up with tears running down their face, talk about how much they love their father. Listen, I've been around preachers' homes where the kids are mad at the mom and dad. The dad has no relationship with the family. There's something wrong there. And he says, I'm old and gray, and my sons are here. They're going to listen to every word I say. So if I'm lying to you, they'll stand up and say, that's not true, Dad. Oh, the word with Ryan sitting right down here on the front row now. Garrett over there. He said, I've been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey has I taken? Whom have I cheated and whom have I oppressed? And today we would say, have I stolen any pens? Did I take somebody's book? Did I cheat on the time clock? Did I say I was here when I really wasn't there so I could get the same amount of money? Did I, when my boss gave me the credit card to go buy something, did I add a few other things in it? Have I done that, he says? Quiet in this house right now. He says, whom have I cheated and whom have I oppressed? And from whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I've done any of these things, he said, I'll make it right. And then they responded, you have not cheated or oppressed us. He had to ask him because when you're old and gray, you have a tendency to forget things. Did I do that? He said, you haven't cheated or oppressed us. They replied, you have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Let me tell you, that is an integrous statement right there. Can your family, can the ones that you're around, can they say that about you? And if they cannot, you can change that today. You can amp that up. Let me just say this again. One more. Let me insert this. The Bible says you don't work for your employer. You work as unto the Lord. If you show up late, leave early, if you cheat on something like that, you're not cheating your employer. You say, well, they don't know. I deserve that. You will never get ahead by being and doing things that are unintegrous. God is looking for people to pour out his blessing on that will live a life of integrity. And the last point, and I'm going to close with this one. We need to sow in our families a sense of belonging, an environment that loves and accepts either our children, our parents, our grandparents, whoever it is, through times of difficulty and through times of failure. Hear me now. Listen to this right now. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love, it pushes out fear. It casts it all out. You remember the story about the prodigal in Luke chapter 15? The Bible says that this young man, he took everything he could get. He didn't want to wait for his dad to die and get an inheritance. He said, give it to me now because I got to go out and I've got to experience some life. And the Bible says that he went out and he spent it all on riotous living. You can call it anything you want. He wasted his money. He wasted his life. He hurt himself. And he came to a place, the Bible says, he came to himself. Now, creating a sense of belonging does not mean we enable our family members to continually hurt themselves. Did you hear me when I said that? Rufus, I think I need you to help me back there. Play for me just a little. So that doesn't mean that we enable them to continue on doing what they've always done. We let people, we let our kids, we let sometimes our family, our moms and dads, they have to come to themselves. But when they make that decision, then we are there to accept them and to love them as the Father did. He said, my son was dead. He said, but now he's alive. He was lost. And now he's found. And they begin to be merry in their hearts. They begin to party. Kill a fatted calf. They had something special going on that day. Can I tell somebody this today? I felt the Lord moving early on in the service today that for somebody it's going to be a new time, a new season in your life, in your family. I want you to just close your eyes with me and bow your heads. I want some of my prayer people to come down and stand by me here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to open up the altar. I sense that maybe a family here, it's that moment in your life where you need to say, like I said when Patty and I were first married, it was the time for a decision to make. It wasn't an easy moment in our lives, but can I tell you, I'm so glad we made that decision. Move forward and do the things that would please and honor the Lord. Today, some of you may need to do that. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You need to do that. Maybe you're here today and you've just been away from Him. Maybe something happened in your life. You got hurt, disappointment. Maybe you're here and a spouse left you and you've been, it's just shattered your heart. You've never come to a place. You say, God, I need you to restore me. He wants to help some of you move on. Help your family to work. Help you to go on and go ahead. I don't know who you are, who I'm talking to. I'm going to close in prayer. And then I'm going to just open up the altar. And if I've spoken any of that to you today, if you've never given your heart to Christ, you can come down. These people will pray for you. They'll give you a Bible. Believe God with you. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for one more minute. I'm going to close in prayer. And I'm just going to open the altar. Somebody needs to make a move today. I can tell you that right now. I know that in my heart. Somebody needs to make a move. Dad, if you'll make the move in your home, you'll see the tide change. Mom, Mom, this is you. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Take a hand next to you if you're near someone. Father, work in our families. Work in our home. Work in my life. Work these things out of me. If any of these things that I've been struggling with, if there's a moral challenge in my life, God, I pray that you'd help me with it. If there's a lack of character and integrity, Lord, help me with it. If I've become hard-hearted, I've been mad at somebody for what they did or didn't do, God, soften my heart today. That's a word for somebody today. God, soften your heart. Praise your name. I pray that as well today as I close. If there's one here that has never given you their entire life, that this will be the day. This will be the moment. I pray you'd strengthen each one. I pray your hand upon every family, from the youngest to the eldest today. May your blessing be upon their lives. I ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Man, I love you so much. I love you. I think, come on, give God a big clap of praise. You need prayer today? I want you to come down. Go in God's grace today. Make sure you stop up and see Natalie Domino at the table in the back. I love you. Go in His grace today.